We'd be looking at Philippians 3:10-16. I'd like to thank everyone for this opportunity to speak at home. It's nice to speak to family about God and, just church in general. And just thank you. And thanks, Sean, for coming up. All right, Philippians 3:10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, by if any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfected, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I have apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Let's just open up in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for who you are and all that you've done. We thank you for this time, and we just thank you for being our example and coming down to earth and humbling yourself, being our example, that we may learn about suffering from the real God who didn't have to suffer but did it to show us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. So we're just going to jump right into verse 10 and just start breaking this down and applying Scripture directly to our lives. I'm going to try to... Sometimes Scripture is very hard to make practical to your life. I'm going to make this as practical as I can so that you could take a verse and apply it to every day. So that I may know him. We'll stop right there. How do we get to know God? What kind of relationship does he want with us? How do we have a relationship with him? So right there, that I may know him. He's asking for a relationship. He wants a relationship. And how do we do that? Prayer, by spending time with God. We can't really have a relationship with somebody if we don't put the time in. By meditating, living for him. Romans 10:17, famous verse, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Something about a relationship, you have to sacrifice. It's just not going to... You can't have a full-blown relationship with everybody because there's just not enough time for that. So something's going to have to give to have a better relationship with another person. So to love another person, you would put their needs in front of your own. You would trust them, communicate. How would we communicate with God? How would we have an open line of communication with God? And we pray. It sounds simple, but we don't always pray when we should. So some people, they call on God like he's a vending machine, only when they need something. When things are going good, we don't always pray and thank God that things are going good. I remember there was I was watching a TV show, and the guy said, I don't always need policemen. And the policeman said to him, he's like, have you ever get mugged in your front yard? And he was like, no. And he's like, well, you're welcome. And it's the same thing where, when things are going good, sometimes it's God that's making it go good. And we got to pray then as well as pray in the hard times. So is it hard to pray? Not really. It's hard to pray all the time and be diligent at it. How do we pray? Is there a right or a wrong way? Should we pray for a long period of time, a short period of time? Is there a difference? Should we use big words in it? It doesn't matter. Some of the sweetest prayers we've heard have come from little children. You know, and they'll just say, thank you, Jesus, that my boo-boo got fixed. And it's adorable because that's pretty much their extent of their vocabulary. But they'll give it all. When we put the kids to bed sometimes, it's really hard not to laugh, to listen to their prayers. They'll go on and on and on because they're trying to stay up, stay awake. And they'll pray about the craziest things. And coming out of the babe's mouth, it's amazing what they see that we don't think that they actually saw. And they'll bring up, I remember I had like an ear infection and my eardrum was ready to burst, and Kenna will still pray that my eardrum doesn't blow up in my head. And and that was a long time ago, but she still prays for it because she was genuinely concerned. So in a relationship, we need to be able to go to another person, an open line of communication. We can freely talk to God at any moment of the day, and he wants us to. Any moment of the day, we could go to him. Joshua 1:8 talks about meditating day and night. Now, there's not too many friends that will say, go ahead and call me any time of day or night. Like, my father will tell me and us, call me anytime you want, I'm awake. Now, he's not always actually awake. There is times where he'll knock off for a few minutes, but he opened the line of communication. And that's the way God wants us to be, or go to him. He is an open line of communication. Anytime you want, he's not a vending machine, but he is open 24/7. So have you ever had that friend that you were just able to call, you know, and something was tough? You know, it was late at night, but if you did wake them up, it wouldn't bother them because you were having an issue. Philippians 4:7. There's going to be a lot of references. I wrote most of them down so you don't have to flip because there's a lot. But Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Now, something about that friend that's got that open line of communication. After you normally talk about something, there's a comfort. You feel a peace. Even if it didn't fix the problem at the time, you know, it's you opened up the door, you talked about it, and now it's off your chest. And when we come to God with something, he's the all-knowing God. So, I mean, we're not going to be able to really be able to hide some details. You know, if you had a fight at work and you were arguing with somebody and you used some choice words and you're talking to God about it later, I mean, God already knows you used the choice words. So, I mean, you know, well, the guy yelled at me. I didn't say nothing. You know, God knows already, but go to him. So, but there's a, when you go to him, there's that comfort. Why is it important that we all know him? Ephesians 4:13. Until we all attain to the unity of faith and of knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to measure the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we all attain, until we all attain the unity of faith. It's important that we all know him, not just I know him or you know him. It's important that we all know him together. And later on in verse 15 and 16, it talks a lot about unity. So it'll all work together in the little passage we're going through. But communication, relationship, but it's important that we have a relationship all together with him. So why wouldn't we want to know our God like he knows us? Is there ever a point where you've just had enough of church? Like, you went Sunday, you went Tuesday, you went Wednesday, and you're going to go again next Sunday. Now, someone asked you to do something on Saturday. Is that just a little too much? It's too much learning about God? Now, I know I've been there. Like, we are human, so we will you know, do things like that. Like, oh, I got another meeting. I got to go sing another song. And I remember at the men's retreat, I love the men's retreat, but sometimes I'm like, it's enough music. But it's good music. Like, and I really shouldn't feel that way, but there was times where I was like, oh, another song. And then I end up singing it, you know, trying to do a cool part to it or whatever. But we have those moments where we'll back down from trying to know our God. And if we truly love someone or something, we're going to go after it 100%. So why wouldn't we want to know God like he knows us? I mean, he has the hairs on our head numbered. It's not funny. I mean, that's easy for me, but I mean, he took the time to even to say something like that, to count the hairs on your head. I mean, I got little hairs on my fingers. I wouldn't take the time to count those on myself. Never mind God taking the time to count on my head. There are little fuzzes up there, but it would take a while. God wants an intimate relationship with us, just like a mother and a child. Now, it is Mother's Day, so I am bringing up mothers. There's something about a mother and a child's relationship that a guy cannot just comprehend. When a child comes out of the womb, the mother already has like a relationship with it because it just carried the baby around for 9 months. A father is like, I didn't have a baby, now there's a baby. It's instantaneous for us. But for the mother, you know, it's a constant thing, and they've already connected before it is even officially like out of the womb and breathing our air. So he wants this relationship that where we could go to him, we feel protected, like a child would feel protected in the mother's arms, and then we could bring something, like was said this morning, even if we don't have all the pieces and we need to bring something to God, God will take care of the pieces. He'll put the pieces together for us. My little daughter Bailey will walk in the room and say, I love it. And Sarah will get up, she'll walk in the other room. I'm like, what are you doing? She's like, she wanted juice. I'm like, I didn't hear juice. And she was like, she clearly said she wanted juice. And then she'll come in the room 10 minutes later, and she's da-da-da-da-da-da. And I was like, she wants juice? She's like, no, she wanted milk. I didn't see a difference, but I guess they're both in a bottle. But yeah, God will take care of the rest if we at least put the effort in and we try. How well do you know God? And are you trying? Do you ever try to hide stuff from the all-knowing God? I know I try to hide stuff from the all-knowing God, but it's kind of stupid because he's the all-knowing God. All right, we'll move on to the next part of the verse, and the power of his resurrection. What is this power that we're talking about? Why is there power in resurrection? So Romans 1:4, I have 5 too. And was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations. The power in resurrection. Now, by a show of hands, how many of you have seen a resurrection? Nobody. So that's pretty powerful right there, even talking about it. Revelation 22:13 says, he says, I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. There is power just even in the name of Christ, never mind all the stuff that he does. He was healing, he made the water into wine, and the feeding the 5,000. There was so many things, and not only that, but like just everything that happened in the Bible that was a miracle, like the flood, and you think of the chariots of fire, all these things couldn't happen without God. I was reading a thing on the 10 plagues, okay? This is how precise God is. I watched a video, I read like some things on it. The 10 plagues can actually happen according to how the earth is made. Like, so everything is an actual possibility. So God made it an actual possibility, but the chances of it happening, just one of the plagues, is like a one to a quadrillion. Just one of the plagues. And then they all happened in a row. So, I mean, it was obviously by God's divine power that each one of them happened, but then the fact that they all happened after another is, and there's no other possible way to explain it other than God. So God has just power. That's why people use the Lord's name in vain. You never hear him say, oh, Buddha. Like, it just doesn't happen. There's power just in his name. We'll turn to Ephesians 4. I didn't have this one written down. Ephesians 4, 14 through 16. A lot of times with this, with the power, will come comfort. You know, if you always see, like this morning on Facebook, I saw a big bear walking through someone's backyard with a little cub. If the little cub gets scared, it is going to run to the big mom. If one of my kids gets scared from the thunderstorm, they run to me, normally not Sarah, if I'm home, because I'm bigger. They tend to think I could stop thunder, but there is comfort in power. So Ephesians 4, 14 through 16, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him all things, which is the head of even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working and measure of every part maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now, it talks there about edifying itself in love. And is starting to bring in the unity part of it. The next part of the verse is in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. May we share in his sufferings. Some sufferings come from those closest to us. Now, sometimes you have a situation that could be very easily diffused, but someone closest to you, sometimes you snap at. Like, it could be the littlest things. I'll have juice sitting on the table, there'll be a little bit of juice, there'll be no more juice in the fridge, Sarah will take a sip of my juice, and I was like, why are you taking my juice? So, it's something so stupid, means nothing, it takes 5 seconds to make a new bucket of juice, but it's something that someone close to me will react. So sometimes with us Christians, we'll get instantly mad at another Christian just because they should know better. You know, us Christians should just know better. They shouldn't be doing that because that's not the way I like it done. You know, that will happen to us. And there's no rhyme or reason. It's just our own personal thing. But a lot of it has to do is because we are family. We are close to each other. So something will irritate us more than something else. Shai and Kenna will fight all day long about a toy they don't even care about just because they're with each other all the time. I mean, yesterday there was like a brawl over this little princess that I think they have 7 of this same princess, but that one they needed to fight over. So, and it could be something little. You know, normally when Christians fight with Christians, it's something that God doesn't, that it doesn't matter. It's not doctrinal. It's normally just something. How my tie is, if this shirt is purple or pink. We argued about that this morning. Is my shirt purple or pink? Purple. All right, I lost that one. Thanks, guys. It's Mother's Day. I let her win, you know? All right. It was dark. My eyes were blurry. So God unifies us. Speaking of Christians, we had the men's retreat, and a comment was made. You know that guy in church that drives you nuts? You know, everyone has that person, or it could be from another church. This is that drives you nuts. And that shouldn't happen. You know? If we have a problem with somebody and they're really not doing anything wrong, it's really our problem, not somebody else's. So we need to love as Christ would love. 1 Peter 3:8. Finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Humility. We need humility in relationships. We need to deny ourselves. Romans 12:1-2. You know, be a living sacrifice. Deny yourself. Mark 10:21 talks about denying yourself, pick up your cross. Follow me. Here's a big question about just knowing him and the power of his resurrection. Are you teachable? You know? Are you teachable? I know in like work-wise, there's certain things at work that you're not going to teach me. Like, you're just not going to teach me. I'll be roofing, or say I'm roofing and I've been roofing for so long, and you come and tell me that never roofed how to roof, probably not going to listen to you. You know? But spiritually, are we teachable? Like, we heard a comment this morning, you know, I learned something new about this verse, but there's probably more to learn. That's a teachable attitude. That's a good attitude. Are we ourselves teachable? 2 Corinthians 4:16-18. So we do not lose heart through our outer self. Is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us the eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, to the things which are seen are transcendent. But the things that are not unseen are eternal. So there, sometimes us in our Christian, well, that was getting loud, huh? I'm sorry. Sometimes in our Christian walk and things, we try to fix spiritual problems with physical works. So where we lose out of our outer self is wasting away, but our inner self is being renewed day by day. So sometimes we'll take a spiritual problem. A person is down and in the dumps, and what do? We try to fix it with a physical need. So someone really needs to be counseled. He needs scripture brought to him every day. And we'll go buy him ice cream. Not like spend time with him, buy him ice cream. Like actually just go buy him ice cream and give it to him. When it's really what he needs is the time spent. So a lot of that has to, you know, humble yourself. Are you teachable? Can you do something different, like instead of buying the guy ice cream, go with him and spend the time to help him through whatever sufferings he has. Which brings us into fellowship of his sufferings. So the verse, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. 1 Peter 4:13, but rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. Have you ever tried to rejoice in suffering? That's a tough thing to do. When something's going wrong, it's hard to rejoice. A few weeks ago, I ended up quitting my job. Things weren't going too well. It was tough to rejoice. I rejoiced that I was no longer there, but yet I had to pay bills. So there was a struggle. You know, it's tough to, when my dad had surgery, his knee hurt, it's tough to rejoice, hey, yeah, I'm going to lose a knee today. It was very hard for that to rejoice. You know, when your kid is sick, when Shai went and had heart surgery, I didn't rejoice. Like, it's tough. So, but it shows suffering that you may also rejoice and be glad when His glory is revealed. If you are steadfast, if you are trusting in God through these sufferings, through these hard times, through these trials, there's glory. There's that light to look for. He is the light. When a mom is given birth, you know, through the labor and all that, there is no rejoicing. If anything, there's a lot of yelling, hitting, screaming. But at the end, when the baby comes out, they already have that relationship. There's the intimate relationship with the child. There's comfort. There's power with that. It's hard. But you have to rejoice in the suffering, and you will see the glory at the end. Romans 6, 4 and 5. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also shall walk in newness of life. For we have been planted together in likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. 2 Corinthians 1:5. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. Well, that verse is comforting. Would we suffer for Christ? How about wearing a t-shirt when you know there will be comments made? Something as simple as that. Wearing a t-shirt or a hat when there's going to be comments made. Will you suffer for Him? Would you lose sleep for God? Would you feel pain on purpose, knowing that you're going to feel pain? 2 Corinthians, we'll go Matthew 26:36. We'll turn to that one. Now, it's interesting that we brought up this morning about the Garden of Gethsemane. And so Matthew 26, verse 36. And I'm just going to look at a few things with this, but you know, we know most of the story. You know, Jesus, He prayed three times in the garden. He sweated blood. Luke 22:44 says, "In being in agony, He prayed more earnestly, and sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground." It is actually possible to be so stressed out that you sweat some blood. During this time, He talked of Peter's denials. You know, he's about to go to the cross. He knows what's coming. He says his first prayer, "Oh Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thou wilt." You know, do you think He was discouraged at this time? He brought His two closest friends. Do you think He got discouraged? Just before Jesus went up to Gethsemane, He was anointed by a woman. So back then, they didn't exactly have like deodorants and stuff like that. And so being anointed, I'm sure that that stuck with you for a while. Just a little smell of it. Like, because you could take someone's shirt, you know, for about a week, and it could smell like that person for like a week. And then, so Jesus was anointed. He's going through this hard time, and he could smell this sweet oil while he's up there. You know, it's something so little, but it doesn't take much. You bring something little to God, and he'll put the pieces together. You know, it doesn't take much. I don't think he was discouraged. Why do you think he prayed three times? In Bible terms, three meanings new life or new beginnings. He was probably hoping that he would have a do-over. You know, maybe. But because he ended up going, I mean, we get new life. But he prayed the three times. When he prayed, the first prayer, "O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." The second prayer, it says, "O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, then thy will be done." The second time he talks, like, prays, the first time he asked for it to go away, the second time he was like, well, if I get it, you know, make it okay. I know I'm going to suffer. Please help me with that. A big one for me, 2 Corinthians 11. I know we didn't look at too many verses in there, but 2 Corinthians 11. Now, it talks about being like Christ. And we know we're supposed to be like Christ and follow in his footsteps and do, just be an example. He wants us to be like him. So 2 Corinthians 11, 16 through 28 talks about Paul, or Paul talks about himself and the things that he went through. All right. So being like Christ, we remember God got, he had the whips. So he got 39, or they whipped him 13 times and there was three hooks on the whip. So that's 39 times. Then he was crucified. Paul wants to be like Christ. He said in 121, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." So this is what Paul went through in his life. So we'll just start in we'll start in 18. "Seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. For ye suffer fools gladly, seeing yourselves are wise. For ye suffer, and if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you in the face, I speak concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, wherein soever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool, but I am more. In laborers more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths of in death, deaths oft." He almost died a lot. Okay. "Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes minus one. Three times was I beaten with rods, and once was I stoned. I have suffered shipwrecks, a night and day I have been at the deep. In journeys often, perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren." This guy, Paul, has basically gone through it all. He's had to fight robbers off. He's been whipped five times. And there's a lot of people that just from those whips will die just from that. So this is a man that physically suffered and mentally had suffered for our Lord. and being conformed to his death. You know, can we do that? Can we physically, mentally take abuse like that and suffering, fellowship of his suffering, being made conformed unto his death? You know, we looked at Jesus, like how he changed his prayer. The second prayer, he accepts the challenges. Thy will be done. Are we ready to do what he wants? Are we willing to do what he wants? Do we know what he wants in our life or where we're going? We may not understand everything that God's doing, but his timing is perfect. There is a reason that God will tell you to wait or he won't answer you. You know, notice how he had to humble himself and come to earth. The next verse. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. By any means attain. Can we give 100%? I know we sing that song, I Surrender All. Really should be like I Surrender Some or 60%. Can we surrender our all? And, you know, if you've ever loved something, there's a certain part in there that says, but if by any means. If you ever love something, you will normally, by any means, try to get that, whatever it may be, whether it be the girlfriend or the husband or your golf game better, by any means. I mean, Marty's been out there, 75 years? And he still hasn't attained, but it's something he loves. But he will continue to go for it. You know, can we obtain by any means the resurrection of the dead? Verse 14. Let's see. We'll read through. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ. So what is this prize that we're looking for? What is the prize? You know, the relationship with God, the spending time with God, being with him eternally. Are we willing? Something about, you know, this verse, a lot of times we'll look at this verse with athletes because it's talking about going for a prize. So, naturally, athletes go for prizes. Something that takes with an athlete, like a football athlete, he has to basically dedicate his life to working out so that he can play football. It's a life commitment to play football. You know, golf would be a life commitment. You can't just go out there and just play. You have to continually play so that you are consistent and you know what you're doing. So in our spiritual walk, we need to be ready. We need to prep ourselves to go out and do what we got to do. Ephesians 4, 1 through 7. We'll look at that real quick. So, if we have to prep and be ready, like, what are things that we would have to do to be ready? And be ready for what? You know? We have to read. We have to spend time. We have to pray. We have to meditate. Those aren't too bad of things to do. They sound easy, but it can be hard. And what are the things that we're doing these things for? And it's for the love of Christ. Ephesians 4, 1 through 7. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all loveliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, and endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as ye are called, one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Colossians 1:10 says, so as to walk in the manner worthy of the Lord, pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in knowledge of God. So we see the picture of this race and going for the prize. Do we think it's just an individual? I mean, in that verse it says, I press towards the world. Is it an individual effort to go for this prize? Is there a team? As it's said before, there is no I in team. There isn't an M and an E, but there is no I in team. So, is it an individual effort? What is, if there's a team, what is the team? You know, it's our fellow Christians. So are we helping the team? Are we putting in our time? Are we helping out where we can or where we should? There's certain things that I know people are called to do that they haven't done, and somebody else will have to step into place. You know, are you helping your team? Are you worried that, have you ever been worried that if you think you're called to lead something, and you're afraid that you're going to mess it up? I know that's happened to me. Like, I had to teach Sunday school or something like that. And it's nerve-wracking. Like, especially the first time you do something like that. It's nerve-wracking. But if you're called to do something like that, he's there. He's a comfort. He has the power. He will comfort you as long as you got lean on him. Galatians 5:7. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? Now, part of preaching, I'm supposed to tell you guys you are sinners. I'm also a sinner. And so on Sunday you get called a sinner. So right here, you were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? You know, life happens. You know, we'll be going good. We'll be reading every day, and something will happen that'll slow us down in our Christian walk. We'll stop reading. We'll get too busy, you know, instead of listening to the preacher on Sunday mornings. Like, you know, at work sometimes I listen to a preacher from a different church on Monday. That's what I do. There's times where I'm tired. I want to pay attention right anyway. I'll just listen to music. You know, it's a little bump in the road. Normally, the person that hinders our walk is us. We get in our own way. We are our own worst enemy. We need to look at the hope who is Christ. Ephesians 1:11-12. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. You know, we need to just look at that hope. 2 Timothy 4:7. I have fought the good fight of faith. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Wouldn't it be awesome to say that? You know, something with the athletes, you know, something will go wrong, like a quarterback. I know we'll bring up Brett Favre. He doesn't play anymore. Well, he might have a contract this year, but Brett Favre threw a lot of interception. He threw the long ball, though. Cool to watch the long ball, right? Guy just... he says hike, and you know it's going deep. We love the long ball. A lot of times throwing the long ball, it gets picked off. The other team gets it, they run for a touchdown. In that situation, Brett Favre's like, you know, the other team's thinking, you know what, he just threw an interception. We just got the ball. There's no way he's doing it again. Brett Favre's like, hike, just tosses it out there again. Doesn't care, has no remember. He does not remember that he just threw the last four balls to the other team. He will still throw it. You know, that's how we have to be in our Christian walk. We fall down, we need to get up, confess our sins, and try not to do it again, but move on. You know, the Lord forgives us. He has no record of wrong. And we should act like that. We shouldn't do anything wrong either. 1 Corinthians 9:25. Do we read well, we'll go 24 and 25. 1 Corinthians 9:24-25. Do you know that in a race all runners run, but only one receives a prize? So run that you may obtain it. You know, he knows that we're in this race, but he doesn't say, just get by. He says, run well. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we for an imperishable wreath. You know, this race that we're running, this, you know, we talk about life and running in life, and we talk about it being a race. You know, it's not a sprint. It's a marathon. You know, we don't want to go so slow at it that we lose. So we want that imperishable wreath, which we will get if we're trusting in the Lord. 15 and 16, we'll go through this real quick. 15 and 16, Let us therefore, as many be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. The Lord talks about unity. You know, if you're on this team, he wants unity. He wants everyone to be running in the same direction, for everyone to have the same plan. Ephesians 4:13, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. You know, what do we need to do to be unified? You know, it said in the other verse, by any means attained. You know, 100%. 1 Corinthians 9:2, run the race well. Colossians 1:10, increasing in knowledge. I mean, we looked at those already, but with those things, you will come unified. Are we working together for the prize? Are we working together to know him? You know, what do we need with unity? We need a relationship. We need faith in him, communication, steadfastness. We need to listen. We need to humble ourselves. We need to be teachable. You know, and the biggest thing we need to be unified is love. You know, when I was growing up in high school and I was a part of a team, like, we weren't just a part of the team for while we were on the court. We were a team no matter what. And if one of our team members got in trouble and the teacher said, all right, who did this? And they would ask me and it was my teammate. I don't know nothing about it. You know, that's what I was trained to say. I don't know nothing about it. Even if I watched my teammate do something. Because we were a team. It's just how we were. I'm not necessarily right. Sorry, Mom. She was a teacher. we need to love each other like we want to love each other, not because we have to. You know, there's been times where, you know, it's, I'm going to love him because I have to, you know. If someone sins or gets off the right path, we need to keep our eyes on God, help them up, help them forget, and continue towards that hope of God. So, in finishing up, like, how do we apply? Paul is a very difficult person to understand. He talks in metaphors, and he's all over the place, and it's hard to sometimes read these verses. But how do we apply this to our lives in everyday situations? So I took the verses, I just broke them down and put an application directly to that part of the verse. So, ready? To know him. Prayer, reading, relationship, open line of communication. We have that with God. Use it. His power. He is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. He rose from the dead. Resurrection. He's the one true living God. Now, our God is the only God that came from heaven to earth. If you look at all of the other gods in history, they've all been on earth and descended to a heaven or a better place. God is the only one that came from heaven down and then back again. So he's a true living God. A fellowship of his sufferings. Rejoice in suffering. His glory will be revealed in the end and help those that are suffering, no matter how little it may seem. By any means attain. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Be that living sacrifice. Give 100%. Run that race well. Live for Christ. All for him. Forget the past and move on. We all have sinned and fall short. But that doesn't mean give up. You know? He is still there. He is still the glory. He is still supposed to be preeminent. Our mark. Press towards the mark. Be steadfast. Be teachable. And keep learning. And you can't learn if you're not going to be teachable. You have to humble yourself. Sometimes being like an older Christian or someone younger will come up with something new. You know, especially like out in the construction field, I'll learn something new from a younger guy. And I have to be teachable to understand that. So sometimes it's going to come from a younger person or, you know, a kid is going to have a better example of something than maybe you can make up. The prize. To be with God and to see his glory. The high calling. What are you called to do? Are you called to do something and you're not doing it? So what are you called to do? Be like-minded. Learn together, fellowship together. Christians, try to like your fellow Christians and love because you want to, not because you have to. Mind the same thing. Have that goal together. Love as Christ and work in unity. Just closing up. 1 Peter 5, 10 and 11, and then we'll close up in prayer. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ with himself, restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for who you are and all that you've done for us. We thank you for this time that we can have. We thank you that you are the Almighty, the powerful, the one who's risen from the dead, so you are alive. And thank you for just showing us the example to be teachable, to humbling yourself, becoming a man, even though you didn't have to. May we unify ourselves and look to you, that we may work as a team for the furtherance of the gospel, and that we may fellowship in your suffering. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray.